The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Why don't we talk to Nessie?
Am I leading the way?
Pioneering woman.
from olden days.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back for her monthly visit, Annette Bunn. From Rift Accounting.
Hello.
And she always brings us an interesting guest. So why don't you tell us, one, what you've been up to, two, why you failed this time. No. Sorry, Sonia.
You don't have to make it bad.
I know, sorry.
I should be allowed to be rude. You don't.
I know. As it came out of my mouth, I thought, I shouldn't be saying that, really, should I? Yeah. I'm in one of those moods today. It's all, you know. Anyway, look, what have you been up to, Nettie? Well, you must have been on holiday, because I haven't seen you for 3 weeks. You're always on holiday.
No.
You haven't?
I haven't, no. Yeah. Had a day off for my daughter's graduation, but apart from that, no.
I saw that, so holiday. Congratulations.
Did you? Thank you. She looked really good, didn't she?
Yeah,
she looked
did.
Quite intelligent. Did you think? She won't be listening.
Don't drag me into that anymore. I already made mistakes there.
No, it's been busy. Really interesting trend we're starting to notice. Mm. And I say we're starting to notice. It's been quite... it's been slowly looking this way, looking at more and more businesses that are starting to source business from here. So I've got a lot more inquiries from London businesses looking for accountancy services.
Okay.
And I think it's that bit of that London price.
Mm-hmm.
And that Southeast price. And if you're starting to look and budget and look at your bottom line and all the rest of it. And
they figured they can get the same level of service from a regional firm.
Absolutely.
But a less than London price.
Absolutely.
Like it, yeah.
And it's quite an interesting trend. And once they start talking, they start talking to their friends. And it's very obvious that's what's going on.
Mm.
So I think that's an interesting trend that we should all think about. I'm not saying don't go and network in London, but what I am saying is I think some of these people are coming to network down here.
Can I ask?
It's very true. It's very true. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but Amanda, with Venues Expo, she saw that trend as well, that all of those kind of things happen in London, but so many organisations don't actually want to be in London, even if their venue's in London. Everyone in London knows where they are because they walk past it every day.
You need to get out So it's been quite interesting, and we've just started to see it. I would say the last couple of months it's been quite a bit more obvious. We've always had a few London businesses, but it's a lot more inquiries are coming from that way. So just that's a general trend. And I was talking to a few business contacts that I've got last week, and it was quite interesting that when I said it, other people were saying, oh, actually, you're right, I hadn't thought of that, but I've got this trend starting to happen as well.
Mm.
And I think because in Kent we're surrounded by sea, there is only one place to go, it's London or Sussex.
Mm.
So therefore, I think we've realised that actually we don't have to go, they may be coming.
it's very true, and loath as I am to admit it, because I wasn't a big fan of this, but a lot of the benefits that we have in Kent now are due to HS1.
Yep.
The high-speed railway. That has made a huge difference to things in Kent, because you can get to London so quickly.
Mm.
But you can also get out of London quickly.
Yeah.
And that's made a big, big difference. And it's taken a long time for people in London to realise that you've got this place on your doorstep that's actually right on your doorstep.
It's actually quicker to get down here than it is to go across London.
It is.
It is, yeah.
No, absolutely.
It is.
I mean, how many meetings do you have these days at St Pancras? Because
I do.
Because they can come across London to see me and I can get up there in just over half an hour. It's easy.
Absolutely. So we've got a lot going for us here in Kent, and that's quite right too. And although London is kind of encroaching on us, aren't they? Because they're now intending...
No, I think we should say we're going up to meet them. I don't think we should say they're coming into us.
That's true, apart from the fact that they're talking about making Dartford a London borough now, aren't they?
They can have it.
Yeah. We'll sell it to them.
How much is it for Dartford? What else can we give away at the same time?
So here's a question, Nettie, and it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it isn't really either. You've got a trend showing. You can predict now that actually this is going to increase. When do you as a business decide to raise your prices?
Well, why would we?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
No, I don't think you need to, because I think part of the pull is to make sure what these people are looking for is value for money. So why would you have a price for London and a price for Kent? I think our prices are right, so therefore why would I have anything different? I want to be consistent, because the work you do is the same.
Absolutely. I like it.
I don't think there's any reason to do that. Yours is going up 50%.
Thanks, Ned. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Interesting.
Why? Why would you... Because that's one of the reasons I think they're coming down here. And they're not looking for cheap, they're looking for value. And there's a real difference in that.
I think it's, as we said right up front, it's... regional services. As I said, I was talking to Jarman Solicitors yesterday, and they, funnily enough, were talking about exactly the same trend. A regional multifunction law firm that can do all the things that a big London law firm can do at regional prices. And that, you know, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
You know, why wouldn't you? Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
So, Nettie, who have you brought us this week to talk to?
I got to the bottom of the barrel and I was having a scrape around. Well,
she's lovely, isn't she? Do you see what I have to put up with?
This isn't good, is it?
No, that's not true at all. As you know, I like to bring different clients along because I think, A, it's good to hear their stories, and also it's good to see what a mix of businesses we've got in Kent. And I did invite Sonia to join me a while ago, and if you remember, she something cropped up, and your wonderful apprentice, Jenny, came
she
on the
did.
Show.
She did,
yes.
She did so well.
She blew us away, didn't she? She was really brilliant.
Anyway, I checked. Jenny wasn't available today, so
I was the last resort.
They can find anyone else.
So I had to bring the boss with me.
Sorry about that.
So, no, I'm really pleased that Sonia's actually managed to join us this time.
Absolutely.
And I mean that completely tongue-in-cheek. And it's, you know, it's good fun to have her here. And as you know, Sonia's always good fun. So
she certainly is. And she's a good sport.
And she does a glamorous job that she'll tell you all about.
But she does indeed. She's a very glamorous lady. Sonia, welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in again. We appreciate you being here at least.
Even if Nefty doesn't.
And of course, your next door neighbours. Your business is located in the same street that we are.
Neighbours now. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I had to send her a Google Map. Yeah.
She got stuck in a traffic jam on a pavement on the way up here. Sonia, for those that don't know, give people an overview of EcoSan and what it is you do.
Okay, so EcoSan are based in Ashford. We're a family-run business. And we deal with the really glamorous, exciting task of taking away clinical waste, sanitary waste, nappy, sharps, all that kind of thing.
You want to see some of the things I do to your product?
I don't want to know.
No, absolutely.
Maybe we'll leave that for another day. And we also now have sort of expanded the business out, and we're doing a lot of mats and a lot of laundry services. So things like washing towels, tea towels. But everything we do, we try and do it in an environmentally friendly way. So that's part of our USP
within
the business.
I'm a customer of yours at Fruitworks, and I was referring to the things that you put in men's urinals. Whatever they are.
My little pee mats.
Yeah, pee mats. this lot are looking astounded because they don't know what they are.
I'm a nurse. Shall I enlighten you?
I'm a nurse.
Yeah, no, so, but you don't know what they are, though, is what I'm saying. Not that you're disgusted by what I do to them.
Neither. I was just like, oh, that'd be exciting. Yeah, well, there you go. Do you know, it's quite funny, actually, because obviously we put these little pee mats into urinals, and different friends of mine and different customers think it's really funny to take a photograph of the urinal. Rhinal mat actually in the bowl and send it to me and say, hey, I've been somewhere and I've just peed on one of your mats. So they also...
It's a bloke thing, really, isn't it?
It is blokes. You'll be pleased to know that sending the pictures, not the ladies. And they also make great little car air fresheners, as my staff have discovered, although that's not what they're supposed to do. But anyway...
I hope you clean them first.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. So you've got these range of products.
I
also happen to know, and I'm out on a limb here because you might go, no, we stopped doing that, Paul.
Okay.
But you used to do front door mats.
Yep, we still do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and where you have your logo on the mat, and it's kind of, stop me when I get this wrong, it's kind of electrostatic or something because it picks up all the grime as you walk through the door.
It does, yes. Yeah. So basically, the idea of the dust mat is not just to look good, so we can do branded mats to help companies build their brand. So when a client enters the building, obviously it looks great with the mat with their logo on it, but actually the mat has a functional side to it. So it will take away 80% of the dirt
on somebody's, you know, feet, because actually that's how most dirt enters a building. So the idea is, by removing that dirt, not only does it make the cleaner's job, you know, they can focus on other areas and be a bit more efficient.
Yeah, get the cobwebs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It also takes the dirt off. And actually, dirt is really abrasive on floorways. You can look at carpet and at flooring in buildings, and actually you can see there's like a pathway of dirt where people have walked. And also, now we're getting to towards the winter months, the dust mat business is great for us, because people come in with wet feet, they shake their umbrellas on the floor, and there's water everywhere. And we all know we're in a blame society now, and trips and slips, people, you know, will sue a company for it. And so the idea is, it helps to reduce the risk and so make the business a safer place. And what we do is, once a fortnight, we take the dirty mat away, because it will only capture so many kilograms of dirt, and then we replace it with a clean one. So the branded mat or the plain mat remains in a pristine condition, and it's working and doing its job.
And then the one you've taken away, presumably that's reusable once you've cleaned it.
Yeah, it goes in our wash, that's right. So we wash it, and also the mats. So again, because we're environmentally friendly, we get all the mats made in the UK, and the rubber is made from recycled car tyres, and the nylon is made from recycled fishing nets. So historically, when the fishermen had a hole in their net, they'd throw it overboard, and because it's no good, because it's got big holes in it, and wildlife, turtles.
Well, it could be
swim.
Could be a tortoise, yes. It could be an Olympic tortoise.
Yeah, a bit like the whale, you know, that we've got at Gravesend at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wildlife gets ensnared in it and can die. And so they've discovered that the nylon can be stripped back, and they've designed a product called Econil, which actually is recycled fishing net, and they can use it for nylon-based products, which includes the fibres of carpet on the dust mat. They also make Speedos in it now. So next time you're on holiday,
you could get a pair
of recycled Speedos.
What, from fishing net?
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. So there you go. So, you know, I don't know whether anybody saw, there was a great programme on TV last night. I actually put it on my LinkedIn about one of the biggest environmental impacts on the planet now is the fashion industry. And I was astounded how much cotton, the amount of water it uses is astronomical. And for a pair of jeans, they showed people how much water it takes, you know, within the manufacture, and the damage that it's doing to the planet. It was amazing.
Right.
It was higher than emissions and fuel, which astounded me. I wouldn't have thought, you know, clothes would do that to the planet. So it's a real education. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, it's interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we're not aware of a lot of things
like
that. You know, we look at the things that we see in our environment and make a judgment on where you shouldn't throw that away. But, you know, it isn't always things that are just as obvious as that that are causing the issues. Unless we know about it, we can't
make choices
to do something about it. Absolutely right. As a business, Sonia, how long have you been going?
11 years.
11 years, yeah. Wow. What made you get into the business in the first place?
So, very similar to these guys here, I was made redundant. I didn't have a job. And I'd worked for several companies, and because of buyouts, you know, I'd kind of got pushed to the side. The company I worked for, as I say, made me redundant. And I thought, do you know what? I think I could do this myself, but better. So all the good things that I learnt within the industry, I took with me. And then the bad things, I corrected. And actually, it was a massive learning curve for me. And I think in business, because you never stand still, it's a continuous learning curve. So for us, we've gone into the laundry side. So I've learnt, you know, about how to wash a mat, how to get chewing gum off of it, things like that, coffee stains, all
how
those
do you
kind
get chewing gum off a mat?
The short answer is not easily, but we've got a product that actually lifts it off, because chewing gum, again, you know, it can be a massive problem on carpets. Yeah. But again, by it going onto our mat rather than into a business onto their floor or onto their carpet, we can remove it much more easily.
Yeah.
So I've learnt so much, and our laundry is taking off so well.
Right.
We're looking at doubling it in size at the moment.
Okay. And is that something you have on site?
Yes, it is.
And I've got so many questions, and I can't.
Smells incredible.
I was going to say, when I think of things like that, I think of big industrial boilers back in the day, yeah, where they chuck in shovelfuls of caustic soda and stuff like that. But just coming back to the formation of EcoSound Services and your business, it's a brave decision to make because there are some big players in that market space, some really big multinational players in that market space. So it was a brave decision to do what you did as well. And in the way that we were talking to Matthew and Andrew about this, you know, in terms of it's one thing having an idea and getting it up and running. It's another thing getting customers to it.
Yeah.
How did you find that in the early days?
For me, you know, it's about sales and it's a numbers game. You know, you throw enough mud at the wall and some of it will stick. So, and I'm like a dog with a bone. You know, once I get my teeth into a business, I'm persistent.
I didn't want the mats at all. We haven't even got urinals. We haven't got any. She just sold them to me.
We've got so many mats, we've had to stop using one of
them. Yeah, there you go.
Stockpile. In the corner.
But yeah, so I think it's about having that focus and that determination. And I think in a business, you have to look at where you need to be. Because if you don't have any direction and you don't have any strategy, then how can you get to where you need to be? So, you know, and when I came in to see you last, I think we had about 250 customers. We've got 1,100 customers now. Okay. So it's really starting to drive in the right direction.
Fantastic.
But yeah, and it's just about networking, you know, talking to people, and banging on doors
working
and saying,
hard.
Here we are. Absolutely. At the end of the day, I think as well, you know, everybody gets their knickers in a twist about Brexit. And to me, Brexit is an excuse.
Yep.
It's an excuse to say my business is failing.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, we've done a procurement exercise, and on almost every product we buy from the United Kingdom.
Right.
So we are backing UK businesses.
Fantastic.
And I think more people need to do that, because not only are we reducing the carbon footprint by doing that, we're also boosting the British economy. Unfortunately, with the stuff we buy, apart from one line that we buy, we can't buy in Kent, but that's because of what we do is quite specialised. But all the disposal is done in Kent.
Right.
But on everything else, we buy British. And by doing that, you get a faster response. And as I say, and you're boosting the economy.
Yep.
And it's that knock-on effect, isn't it? By
Absolutely.
Boosting the British economy, then you've got other businesses that will benefit from it. And so it's
it's a virtuous circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're absolutely right. And I couldn't agree with you more. That's very, very true. So you're kind of expanding into laundry services.
We are.
Are you doing that commercial laundry, presumably?
Yeah, that's right.
And are you looking at the hotel market? Is that the market that you're focusing on? So towels and sheets, that kind of thing?
At the moment, no, ironically. There are a lot of big players that do that, and they rent, you know, bed sheets to people. At the moment, it's almost been an add-on.
Right.
So you've obviously got your core customer base. A great way to grow your business without a lot of expenditure is to add value to those contracts. So we've been looking at that. So you'll have offices, someone does the washing up, they need a tea towel. Someone has to take the tea towel home and remember to wash it, remember to bring it back.
There you go.
Yeah. So
we
provide that service for you know, such a minimal amount of money a week that people say, do you know what, for the aggro, let's let EcoSound do it.
Yeah,
and we're here on site anyway, so it adds value to us, and also it adds value to our route. So if we've got a route that goes round Ashford, by adding tea towels onto it, it doesn't cost us a lot of money. It adds value to the contract. It also adds an additional service to our client. So it's that sales win-win situation that we all look for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Great stuff.
Have I talked at you too much now?
Every now and again, and that's when you get to ask her a question.
Yes. Yeah, go on. You go for it.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
What's the sash?
Okay, so this little baby. So something I've decided to do. I love to push myself out of my comfort zone. Yeah, I have this thing. I don't know why, but it's just me, and it's the way
just,
I am.
Just before, I didn't know whether I was going to read this out.
Go on.
It's gone. Wow, that's really good. Can we get some of these pea mats for home, please?
Only if you've got urinals at home.
Yeah.
Unless we've got someone that pees on the floor or, you know, because I know, yeah, some of you guys aren't a very good shot, are you?
That'll be it.
It's funny, isn't it? I've just had a question asked of Sarah. Could you ask, do you do ones with insects on it as well?
Ones with it. Oh, what?
You know, so it is a focus.
You've been hanging around in men's urinals.
I haven't. Stephen's just gone, ask her about this. He said, no, don't, because I know. I said, look, I've got no shame. I'll ask any question. He's like, don't
the
dare.
The ones I've seen are actually painted on the porcelain of the urinal. They're not on the mats.
So you focus so that's where you go.
Yeah, we have like had historically ones with little targets on them.
Exactly, yeah.
So, and I've also seen them with goals on, like a football goal.
Yeah. I see. You know. Yeah.
But the problem is, believe it or not, people like to pinch stuff like that. Now, why you would take something out of your urinal and someone else's weed on it, I don't know.
Weird.
People do. People steal the most peculiar of things.
I used to use corks when my little boy was little. I used to have a cork.
Oh, didn't
but
go?
It moves, love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun of it, isn't it?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you didn't let him go. I thought you put a cork in it.
Actually, hindsight, that was a better idea.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't go to the loo until he was 14 to get the cork out. sorry to bring it back to that, but you were about to tell us about your sash and the thing that you're into now, Sonia.
So, it's probably something you wouldn't expect me to do, which is why I've done it. So, about 12 months ago, my daughter has been competing in pageants. Mm. So not the sort of pageant that's, you know, tiaras and whatever it is, tantrums or whatever. Very natural pageants. And it's really built her confidence up. And for a lot of the girls, it puts them in an interview situation. And actually, those skills they learn are transferable. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the pageant industry has looked and said, why should it just be a certain age group that does this? Now, back in the 80s, I used to be Miss Faversham, and then I was Miss Kent and Sussex, and I loved it, and it was great fun. And I travelled all over Kent, and I met people from all sorts of walks of life. It put me on the spot. It taught me to think on my feet, and actually, it gave me some great skills. So my daughter said, why don't you enter again, Mum? Because they're doing classics now, and classics are for the over 50.
I like 50s. It. Classics.
Yeah, classics.
Not vintage, classics.
Classics. So we don't do anything like swimwear or anything, my God, you know. Mm. One of the oldest ladies that competed was 71.
Right.
Let me tell you, she looked amazing. Mm. And she was such good fun. And because we're all older ladies, we have an absolute scream. Mm. It's really good fun. And what we do is we do fundraising. So I know this week it's SANS is the charity, one of the charities we fundraise for, which is like a neonatal stillbirth charity. So we raise money for that, and we also do some fundraising for various children's hospices. So it's got a charity element to it, which is lovely to put something back into the community. So I am Classic Diamond Kent. So I represent Kent, and right. I'll be competing in the nationals in Somerset, down in your little neck of the woods there, Birdie. So from all the other ladies from all the way across the country.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yep.
So you're representing Kent.
I am.
How did you have to win something to get that position or...
So because the pageant is new in the classic section, I was very privileged that they said you can be the
right,
Kent representative.
Okay.
Some of the other places there are heats. So on Sunday I went to watch the Essex heat.
Right.
So and they had the little minis, the juniors, the miss, the misses and the classics. And there were winners from all of those categories.
Fantastic.
So, but Kent, because it's still very new, they're still trying to sort of create awareness and grow it.
So you're going to represent Kent.
Yeah.
And is it a national event?
It's actually it's international. So there'll be the Nationals in Somerset in April.
Right.
And then the winners from that go to Las Vegas to compete, and it's all expenses paid.
What does this bring for you? What do you get out of doing it?
Do you know what? It's actually really, although you'd think I'm quite confident anyway, it's pushed my confidence to a new level, but actually a good level. People sometimes think, oh, it's a pageant, it's about who's the most beautiful, who's the most glamorous, but it's actually a lot more than that. Obviously, there's a degree of how you look. You need to be, you know, well presented and, you know, neat and tidy. But it's also about your communication skills, the way you can promote the pageant, and the way you engage with people. And I've got to meet so many other lovely people, and it's just really good fun. Mm. And I have such good fun doing it. And I've met people from all different walks of life. And actually, you can, you know, they say change the world one rhinestone at a time. And actually, you can make a difference, you know, with the charity work we do. You know, one little person raising a bit of money may not make a huge impact, but when you've got a team of us working together, you know, that really makes, you know, those ripples really make a difference. Mm. And as I say, it's a hobby for me, but it's really good fun. And I really enjoy it, and having to learn the pageant walks, and, you know, I mess about. They were laughing at me because I was like, I'm going to do some walking. You know, I didn't have to, and they were laughing, you know, saying you're bobbing up and down. So I started singing, I got chills, they're multiplying and messing about. But it's the fun of it, you know, and I think as a classic as well, maybe we don't get as, I don't know, when I say focused, I don't mean that in a bad way. What I mean is, we take it much more lightly, and it's good fun. Mm. There's not the competitive edge that perhaps there is, you know, with the younger categories. And that's why I have an absolute scream with all the other ladies, because it's such good fun. I went up to Leeds a couple of weeks ago, and I did my first photo shoot, and it's a charity calendar. I don't know what month I am, but it was based on supermodels, but they're all classic ladies, and they had makeup artists and hairdressers. They had these people have made up Kate Moss, and the photographs I'll show you, they're amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing. And again, we're going to be selling the calendars, so I shall come in and flog you one.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
You know, and all the money's going to Alzheimer's, so you know, it's a great charity as well. So and really good fun, and you know.
And you're obviously passionate about it, and you really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I do.
And that's crucial, isn't it? It doesn't really matter what you do if you're passionate about it, and you do it. It's the thing, isn't it? It doesn't matter what it actually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you enjoy doing it and you get some sense of fulfillment out of it.
And I've also to push my comfort buttons. I'm also learning to play the saxophone.
Are you indeed?
So I've done my grade one jazz. I've been playing 12 months, and one evening outside Faversham Kebab shop. It's a long story.
You've been busking, haven't you? For free kebab.
I got chatting to a band that I'd been to see, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to play in your band one day. And they said, why don't you? So I said, all right, then I will. So I'm playing in 2 weeks' time in the Alexander Centre in Faversham with a ska band called the Curb Pilots. And I managed to drop my saxophone the other day and dent a few of the keys, so I've now got to dash to Crowther's in Canterbury and get it fixed. But yeah, so again, I mean, my goodness, is that going to push me out of my comfort zone or not? Because I'm about a grade two now, grade two to three as a beginner, you know, and these guys are all semi-professional musicians.
So what are we playing?
I'm playing a Madness track. It's called Night Boat to Cairo.
Right, okay.
So yeah. So I'm glutton for punishment, really, aren't I?
I love the thrill.
Some people are thrill seekers. They'll go on a roller coaster.
Yeah, sure.
But this is my
thrill. You like challenging yourself.
I do, I do.
No, that's cool. No, that's really good.
I've got to ask her, what does she do in her spare time, really?
What spare time?
Exactly, Nettie, exactly.
I don't know.
Unbelievable. Blown away. And total energy buzz, and fair play to you, Sonia. Fantastic. All the things that you're involved in and all the things you're doing. Listen, if people want to find out more about EcoSam, first of all, how can they do that?
Okay, so the EcoSam website does need a little bit of a makeover. So we are in the process of doing a little bit of an update, you know, but one step at a time. However, our website is www.
World Wide Web.
Yeah. www.ecosan, that's E-C-O-S for sugar, A-N for November, .co.uk. So please feel free to drop us a little message and say hello. And okay. If there's anything in your business that we can help you with, we're really cost competitive as well. People think because we're green, we're going to be more expensive, but actually that's not necessarily the case. And as Nettie was saying earlier, it's about value for money. It's not just about getting the cheapest.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and if people want to join in with your ska and reggae at the Alexander Centre, when's that?
It's not this Saturday coming. It's the Saturday after, and the tickets are on sale at the Alexander Centre. Normally, it's a sellout, which is really scary.
Well, we'll be thinking of you. You know, I'm blown away. What can you say?
Please don't come and heckle me. I've had plenty of volunteers for that.
Yeah. As if we would. No. We wish you continued and absolute success, Sonia.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
And it's always a pleasure to have you
thank
here.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. Sonia Wilson, EcoSan Services. Cool.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.